Welcome to Transforming Minds, Transforming Lives, a podcast series of RCCG Living Spring Pittsburgh. Stay tuned for our senior pastor, Boyega Esson.
We just want to look at a sermon titled Lift Up Your Eyes. These are very crucial, perilous times. There's a way we should operate at this time. There's a posture we should have before God, and that's just to lift up our eyes and lift up our minds to the Almighty God. If you look down, somebody said you will see death, D-I-R-T. If you look around you, you see frustration, disappointment. The only place you can look to is just to keep on looking to heaven, because from there our help comes. Psalm 121 and verse 1 to 3. Psalm 121 verses 1 through to 3. The Bible says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep you, will not slumber, and so on and so forth. God wants us to look continually up. Just like I told you, if you look down, you will see death. If you look around you, you see frustration and fear in the eyes of people. And now these fears are actually becoming real. And those fears are genuine. I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to put more fear into your heart. But we know we have a Redeemer. Bible says, when you see these things, just know your redemption draws near, and then look up. So the one posture you want to take is to always consistently look up, because there's nothing comely where you look around you, you look down. It's my prayer, the grace to look up, God will give to us in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in Psalm 124 verse 8, Psalm 124 verse 8, our help is in God's name who made the heavens and the earth. There's no other place to look to but to look to God. Medical science tells us that they try, but God heals. Doctors care, but God is the healer. There was this king who had a sore, who had a cancer on his foot. And the Bible says he sought many physicians. And in all his seeking, he didn't seek God. Doctors are marvelous. Doctors are great. We celebrate them. But even doctors, they make mistakes because they are human. Doctors also, even when they give you prescriptions, they give you medication, you still need God to make those medications work in your physical body. As a matter of fact, it's ironic when they begin to make announcements on drugs on the TV, they also tell you the side effects of those drugs. So that's the reality of it. Our totality is in God. Our help, everything you are doing, whether secularly, whether spiritually, anything at all, you need the help of God. I need the help of God. I need the help of God even to breathe. Everything is God. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 31 verse 1, Isaiah 31 verse 1, say, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, and they rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look up to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Say, woe to them, those who just go down to Egypt alone for help. In verse 3, Isaiah 31 verse 3, say, now the Egyptians are men, they are not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirits. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down, they will perish together. In other words, God doesn't want man to replace him in your life. He doesn't want your strategies, your calculations to replace prayers in your life. You know, there was a particular time David just woke up because his army was strong. He had so many foot soldiers. He now felt he had arrived. So he called for a census just to know how many soldiers he had. And God was angry. And because of that, God plagued Israel. Because this man was forgetting who the source, who the real man is. Bible says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord. Our help is in that name. Our strength is in that name. When God is helping you, you have to know God is your help. In your academic life, you are scoring A's, things are happening for you. Don't you ever think it's your smartness. People have come who are smarter than you, but they didn't get the results you got. Don't even think it's your righteousness. Some people are more righteous than you, and they fall. So everything is God. Every day I look up is a conscious act. I have to keep on looking up, because from there comes my help. I look up to him to appreciate him for what he's doing. I also look up expectantly. As I'm doing stuff in the physical, I'm trusting God to go behind the scenes and always make things work for me. My heart is in him. That look, he is my savior, he's my helper. I have no other help but him. Everything I do, I get him into the equation so that my life will be on the upward swing. Is my prayer your life will be on the upward swing in the mighty name of Jesus. You will never know a downturn. You will never know a downturn. Even as you are seated, just bow your heads and just say, Lord, I acknowledge you as my help. I have no other help but you. Please help me. My academic life, mentally help me. I acknowledge you again. You are my help. I say it to you. I will say it over and over. You are my help. Without you, I'm done for. You are the help of the helpless. I come before you in my helplessness. Please help me. Help me like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. We also say, man, Genesis chapter 24, verses 63. Genesis 24, 63 to 64. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And there the camels were coming. Then Rebecca lifted up her eyes as well. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. I'm sure you know the story of Isaac very well. Abraham told his servant Eliezer to go get a wife for his son Isaac. And of course, he came back with a woman. And the Bible says Isaac was meditating in the field in the evening. And when he looked up, he saw Rebecca, his wife, coming. Rebecca also lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac for the first time. In other words, when you focus your thinking on God's word, your desires, is a matter of time, it will come to be. When we meditate in God's word, we are also lifting up our eyes to him. God spoke to Joshua. One thing you have to do 24/7 is to think about my word day and night. So that's the guarantee for your success. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. So that's the reason that guarantees your success. In other words, let your mind stay upon my word. Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says, they keep them in perfect peace. Those whose mind is stayed on him. Believe me, these are challenging times. For you not to have your heart palpitate more than usual, your heart, your mind must stay upon the word of God. So God spoke to Joshua. The guarantee for your success is that you think about my word day and night. Focus your thinking on the scriptures. Because what God does is to use the scriptures to paint possibilities in our minds. The scripture is not just a book of instruction, it's also a book of possibilities. That's the way God uses his word to educate our minds. That's why we have faith in God. By continually meditating upon the scriptures, it will keep him in perfect peace. Those whose mind is stayed on him. Those who meditate on the word, they will see their desires come to pass. Isaac was there meditating in the evening by himself. The Bible says he was thinking, meditating. And behold, as he lifted up his eyes, what he was desiring came to him. You have to know that, look, meditating on scriptures is meant to paint God's possibilities in our minds. Also, imagination is seeing with your mind what your physical eyes cannot see. Meditation in scriptures, I beg your pardon, will bring forth positive imagination. And imagination is seeing with your mind what your eyes cannot see. Negative meditation also brings negative imagination. That will deliver fear, deliver anxiety, deliver sin. That's how this thing works. So faith is assurance of things we are hoping for, is the certainty of things we cannot see. It's not just mental assent. It's God working on your mind. And the only way you can get your mind to be in tune with God's will is to meditate on scriptures. This guy kept on meditating. And he saw his desires come to pass. To meditate is also to mutter. As you focus your thinking, you also mutter stuff. You talk. I'm beginning to talk to myself so much, and I love it. I'm beginning to tell myself, look, there are possibilities. I'm seeing what the natural eye cannot see. Imagination is seeing with your mind what your natural eyes cannot see. Let me tell you this. Even unbelievers know this. Because we are created in God's image after his likeness. That's how God operates. God declares the end from the beginning. God sees the end from the beginning and begins to walk towards the end. So it's not just peculiar to Christians alone. You have unbelievers who are stunned and they sit down and they dream. They focus their thinking. They keep on. They put something on their wall 24/7 and it happens. God spoke to Abraham and said, come out from your tent. Say, can you see the stars? Say, yes, I can see. Say, fix your gaze on the stars. Say, as you see the stars, that's how numerous your offsprings will be. In other words, God was advertising to Abraham his future. Before your future comes, it's very likely God will advertise that future to you. He will bring it to your mind. And as you capture it in your mind's eye, and you let it fixate there, you establish it in your mind, it's a matter of time, it will happen. It happened to Joseph. In his mind, he was a king. In his mind, he was great. So even when he was going through the challenge of the prison, it wasn't anything to him. Because he was seen beyond the present. He saw beyond where he was. That is the power God gave to human beings. That is the power of the mind. So the mind has a memory compartment. It also has an imagination compartment. With the memory compartment, we replay the events of the past. With the imagination compartment, we pre-play the possibilities of the future. That's how you are wired. So don't waste your mind. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Dream. Put something down on paper. Write a vision. Make it plain. Play it to your mind over and over and over and over. That's how people become great. So when you meditate, you focus your thinking, and then you mutter, you will see possibilities. Whatever thing you see inwardly, you will see outwardly. The dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. That's how God made man in his image, in his likeness. That's one of the power man possesses. Very critical. So meditation will lead you to imagination. Meditation will birth faith in your heart, which is say with your mind what your physical eyes cannot see. That is faith. It's my prayer your meditation will lead you to manifestations in the mighty name of Jesus. As you meditate, you will also see manifestations of glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Also, lifting up our eyes is engaging in battle. This is serious. This is serious. Judges chapter 7, verse 5 to 6. Judges 7, 5 to 6. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their thongs like dogs. Divide the men into two groups. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. I'm sure you know the story of Gideon. The Midianites, he had to fight them. And they had 2,000 soldiers to do the work, you know, to fight the Midianites. And God said, look, this is too many. In other words, I don't want the Israelites to say, oh, it's our strength that gave us victory in the battle. So, okay, so trim them. Say, tell them if you're afraid, you can't go forward, you're afraid of battle, go back home. As he made that announcement, 22,000 of them left. So they remained 10,000 soldiers. And God said, there are still too many for me to give you the Midianites. I want to let the Israelites know that, look, the Lord is strong in battle. So he said, take them to the stream and test them. That those who would just go to the stream and stoop and use their hand to cup the water and lap like a dog, say, put those ones aside. That those who go on their two knees and then drink, say, put those ones aside. Those who kneel, they are looking downwards. You can't be kneeling to drink and be looking upwards. But those ones who stoop and they were lapping, somehow they still have a better posture. He said, those ones are the ones that you should take to battle. There were 300 of them. So in other words, these guys, they were battle ready. Do you know a journey of 11 days cost the Israelites 40 years? Do you know that? They were meant to travel 11 days from where they are. It was a journey of 11 days that took them 40 years because they were battle averse. They didn't like battle. In other words, God tells you, he's telling me, don't be battle averse. Life is just one chunk of battles. It is those who fight those battles that win victories. Those who don't fight do not win. There's no guarantee for victory for anybody who chooses not to fight. These guys, 11 days journey became 40 years. Even when they came out, God said, look, these guys are not battle ready. I will take them through a longer route. The shorter route was the route of the country of the Philistines. But because God knew their minds, he said, look, if I take these guys through the Philistine journey and they see battle, they will run back to Egypt. He now took them through a longer route, the route of the Red Sea. It is only those who fight battles that will see victory. Somebody said, if you fight and you run away, you will live again to fight another day. We are not seeing too many victories because we are not fighting. So you have to learn to pray. You have to learn to load your arsenal. And let me tell you this, battle is prepared for in the times of peace. I wrote here that God proposes, Satan opposes, man imposes. That's so true. We all know. If you propose to a young woman, look, this is my will, I want to marry you. She can say yes or no. You make a business proposal. It's your will you are putting forward. So God's will is put it forward. God proposes. But there's an opposer. Everything God proposes, Satan opposes. Everything. You can be rest assured. Once you know this is God's will, is after it. He doesn't want it to be established. But man imposes. We are the one to impose the will of God in this world. You are to impose the will of God in your life. You are to impose the will of God in your life. So if you are battle averse or if you are ignorant of battle, Satan likes it when people don't even know they are left from their right. So God has a will, but Satan also has a will, and that's to oppose the will of God. It is our job to impose the will of God. Deuteronomy 2:24. Rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I've given it to your aunt Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. God showed them the promised land is yours. Begin to possess it. That's the irony of God. In other words, he's blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. His will is known. So look, go in, possess the land. He will not do the battle for you. You're already blessed. But we have to now impose that blessing in the physical. In other words, in the heavenlies, your account is loaded. You have spiritual blessings in abundance. But we have to transfer what is in the spirit right into the physical. And to get from the spirit to the physical, there's some battle. But we overcome. Say, look, you already overcome us. Say, nay, in all these things, you are more than conquerors. But we are still fighting. He called us conquerors already. Say, in all these things, say, look, your faith overcomes the world. But at the same time, you also tell you, no, look, those who overcome. So you see, we already have everything needed in our palms. But we have to work it out. And the grace to work it out, God will give to us in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Say, don't be slothful, don't be lazy. But be followers of them who through faith and patience, they obtain the promises. Say, don't be slothful spiritually. Don't. You know, gather yourself. Every day, make sure you read a portion of the Bible. Make sure you say a word of prayer. 5 minutes can become 10 minutes. 10 minutes become 20 minutes. You know, you are going to walk. Speak to yourself. Speak about your future. Just do some battle. Don't just rest on your horse. No. Words are spirits. Watch what you say. Begin to build up your arsenal. You don't get there overnight. So when the times of battle comes, you are ready. Many Christians are not battle ready. And we are winning victories every day. Every day. Satan is coming to cheat us. He's coming. He will come to our space and yank things off us because we are battle averse. Because some of us are even battle weary. Some of us don't even know we are in a battle. But God will help us. God proposes. Satan opposes. Man imposes. And you will impose. God's will over your life shall be done. It shall be established unto you. It shall be established unto me. In Jesus' mighty name. Also, Bible says, with joy we draw waters from the wells of salvation. You know, when you are joyful, you can take on things. When you are depressed, you can't take on things. Some people wake up with the morning, they are so sad. You don't wake up as a Christian on neutral gear. No, you wake up roaring. You don't wake up with Facebook. You wake up with face God because the day is before you. The morning shows the day. We prepare for the day in the morning. We don't wake up in neutral gear. Wake up activated. We wake up with prayer. It's a conscious thing you have to start doing. Because people wake up, they're just depressed. They are so sad, so melancholic. So if you wake up in that state, in a reverse gear, the day's already done for. And you know, Satan knows. He knows your buttons. He knows how to press the buttons. But every day I say, no, you will not press my buttons no more. I wake up speaking in tongues. I wake up at times from my dream with songs. Active. I wake up ready to take on the challenges of the day, and that will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Never you forget, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. These guys merry-go-rounded for 400 years. For 40 years, I beg your pardon. because they were not totally following God and because they were not battle ready. 11 days journey became 40 years. Think about it. They kept on going around circles. You will not go around circles. Amen. Not anymore in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Progress. That will be your testimony. Forward ever and backward never. Some people make 5 steps forward and 6 steps backward. That will not be your testimony. You keep on going forward in the mighty name of Jesus. In your thinking, in your mind, you will keep on making progress. In Jesus' mighty name. Also, in Genesis 13:14-15, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. As Abraham separated from Lot, the Bible says God spoke to Abraham to lift up his eyes. In other words, because Lot was in the life of Abraham, Abraham didn't see. He didn't see well. He didn't see far. And Lot simply means veil. And when God spoke to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, he said, you come out from your country, from your father's house, from your kindred, and then come with me to a place, a land of promise. He didn't tell him to take Lot along. But Abraham took Lot along. And you know, Lot was a problem. Even when there was a famine, Genesis chapter 13, Abraham couldn't hear God. So there was a famine where he was. He now went down to Egypt, where he wasn't supposed to go to at all. Because of Lot's presence, for some reason, God didn't speak to him. Do you know there are some people who are actually vision blockers that you are carrying along? Whatever doesn't make you hear God clearly, whatever doesn't make you see beyond your nose, is not a friend. And Satan knows how to package those things into our lives. But as I'm speaking to you now, God is going to separate you from every lot in Jesus' mighty name. Luke chapter 21, Luke 21 verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, signs in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. So you see, men's hearts are failing. People are afraid. But the Bible says, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near.
Thank you for listening, and make sure you subscribe for more great podcasts.